Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Samuels Perspective. I am your host, Craig Samuels. I am an author. I am a ghostwriter. I am a mentor, life coach. I am also the co-founder and administrator of the SEEDS organization. SEEDS is the acronym that stands for Spiritual Exchange Enhancement and Development Systems. And what that entails is we are a platform or an outlet for Black men to come in to voice their opinion, share how they feel, what they feel, what they're going through without judgment or ridicule. And I will be giving out some of that information a little later, so those of you who may be interested to sit in on the conference call can do so. We meet every second Saturday of the month. With that being said, I will move on. I hope that I am finding all of you well in mind, body, and spirit. I hope your day was well, productive, peaceful. I hope everything went the way that you wanted it to go, and even better. I thank you for tuning in, those of you who are listening, to another installment of The Samuels Perspective. I also want to thank those of you who tuned in last week when I had my guest, Alfonso Brown, on to as we discussed the silence of Black tears. I appreciate those of you who tuned in, and I hope that you got something from that particular conversation. Today, a little bit different. Going to go in a different direction, whole different vibe. I was supposed to initially talk about this particular topic, which is the vampire effect, facing or fearing fear of your own reflection. I was supposed to talk about this a few weeks ago, but as I told you last week, I fell with a migraine, and of course I couldn't do that. But I feel differently about this particular subject today than I did when I was supposed to do it originally. I feel like I need to take a different approach, and I am, in how to convey this particular message. Before I get started, I want to remind those of you who will, and I appreciate it if you do, to follow my broadcast and share my broadcast. I've been getting a lot of good positive feedback from from those who have been listening and sharing the link. And as it turns out, I've been touching people around the world. And I say around the world because I've been sharing it with some of my some of my people, who in turn have been sharing it with their people. So please continue to follow and share, if you will, because we want to make sure that we get our message out. You never know who can benefit from what you're saying, regardless of where you are, what you think. There's someone out there who can benefit from your experience. Moving right along, I had a very interesting day today. Very enlightening conversations with brothers who are very gifted. We talked about several things, a lot of confirmations. And as far as that word confirmation goes, I don't think anyone really has to have confirmation. When you know something, you know it. It's just refreshing to come in contact with others who are saying and thinking the same things along the line that you are, in the same vein, especially when you've never met them before. Now, that speaks volumes. But those are the conversations that I normally have, but today there was something different about it. And I don't want to go into great detail, because I am going to talk about it in a later broadcast. And I will spell out everything that I want to spell out. It's actually time sensitive. So I just wanted to share that with you, because there is something brewing, and I'm going to share it with you within the next few weeks. Today's topic, the vampire effect. Fearing your own reflection. What am I talking about, Greg? What are you talking about? The vampire effect. What kind of stuff are you going to hit us with this time? You're always coming out of left field with something. Well, whether I come out of left field, center field, right field, or from the pitcher's mound, I'm going to have something to say, and at least one of you is going to get something out of it. That's why I'm doing this. How many of you are privy to the story of Dracula? I'm sure the majority of you who are listening know exactly who I'm talking about, but do you know how that story came to be? Do you have the background on who Dracula is? How a non-fictional character became a fictional character? The non-fictional character, some of us already know as Vlad Tempest or Vlad the Impaler. There's another name for him, Vlad the Third Dracul, or Dracula. He was born in 1428 and died in 1476. He was a 15th century ruler in Romania. He was a bloodthirsty, fiendish tyrant who enjoyed killing. He was also a practitioner of cannibalism. Fast forward. Somewhere down the line, down the corridors of time, a man named Bram Stoker decided to write a fictional piece about a non-fictional character. And that non-fictional character is who I just explained to you, Vlad Tempest or Vlad the Impaler. And the person that Bram Stoker is writing about or created is Count Dracula. He came to be in 1931. We know he hit the screen. You know, I grew up watching the black and white films on Dracula, and the first vampire that I was actually introduced to was Bela Lugosi, who some may say is the original Dracula, and scared the hell out of me. but I was too fascinated to not watch it. Because there were certain characteristics about Dracula that I found interesting. What he did and how he did it, how he carried himself, and how he fooled everyone around him until. And I won't get to the until yet. I'm not gonna go there yet. It's too early. But who or what is a vampire? It's a parasite. It is a parasite in the form of a human, something that is dead that needs to live off of you, human blood. We know people like that. We know parasitic individuals who stick to you like ticks, like parasites and leeches, and they feed off of you. They feed off of the goodness of your life. They're going to drain you of every ounce of energy that you have by way of sucking you dry, blood-wise or energy-wise. What does Dracula have to do with people? And what do people have to do with this vampire? What is Craig? What is, you're doing a whole lot of talking, but you ain't said nothing yet. What is this vampire effect? Well, let me help you. Don't rush me. I'm old. I'll get to it. A vampire, as we've come to know it, has been played, or this particular vampire has been played by different ones. You have, I just said his name, Bela Lugosi in 1931, John Carradine somewhere down the line, I think in 1933. You had in 1968, you had Christopher Lee, who played Dracula. 1979, Frank Langella. 2000, I think it was 1996, you had Gary Oldman, which was one of my favorite Draculas, in that particular one. And you had several others who attempted to play the part. Now that the history part is over, what is a vampire and what can it do? Well, they can transform into non-human entities. Like what? Wolves, rats, bats, and mist, etc. Let's contrast that with how some of us move. We too take on the characteristics and behavior of creatures that reflect the effect of our trauma. Well, Craig, I thought you were talking about Dracula. Where does trauma come in? You don't think that Dracula has been traumatized? It wasn't always the living dead. It wasn't always the Nosferatu. Nosferatu simply means living dead. Once upon a time, this character named Dracula was a living being. And according to some manipulation and deceit, he became confounded by his present circumstances, losing his loved one, his bride, his queen. And he renounced God. In so doing, he renounced God and put in place the evil one that we know to be the devil or Satan. And he's also known to be the son of Satan. When that happened, everything about him as a living being ceased to exist. He became the living dead, and the only way that he could survive was off the blood of others. And he couldn't walk around with his true face, because that was beastly. So he had to shapeshift. He had to become a chameleon, which allowed him to turn into whatever he needed to turn into to carry out his plan or his motive, his agenda. Hence, a wolf, rat, bat, or mist. I contrasted that with some of the characteristics that we as living beings take on too in modern day society in order to get ourselves in and or through a situation. We take on the characteristics and behavioral creatures that reflect the effect of our trauma. Dracula was reflecting his trauma. Yes. He had to live off of human blood, and when human blood wasn't available, he had to live off of the blood of animals. Let's go a little further. The change of diet, the vampire feeds on the blood of humans and animals, as I just said, due to its beastly transformation. Now, let's contrast that with us. How do we do sometimes? We begin feeding on foods that tear down our minds and bodies, like sugars and cakes and cookies. We find processed foods and fried foods, and all of these cause life-altering effects. All due from the trauma. I'm going somewhere. The hours of the day that the vampire has to keep are suspect and suspicious and may raise an eyebrow or two. The vampire is a nocturnal creature. It moves about at night with a dangerously menacing agenda. Why? Because it has become so beastly and fiendish and monstrous that it can no longer bear the sunlight. So it has to move about in darkness. Contrast that with some of the things that we do and how we do it. We can be overwhelmed by the effects or the cause of our circumstances that it activates other debilitating issues such as depression, which can cause us to hinder ourselves and hide ourselves away during certain hours of the day. What happens to a person? I'm sure all of you have seen a person who has become depressed or was experiencing some type of mental issue that causes them to become a recluse. And you only see them at certain times of the day or night. Trauma. It's the vampire effect. Why am I talking about this? And now, the main point of the first segment here is what we do when it comes time to confront ourselves based on the trauma we've been unfortunately exposed to. Dracula had a fear, and one of his main fears, sunlight. The other one, mirrors. How often have you seen Dracula throw a fit when he comes in contact with a mirror? He has an issue with mirrors. Why? Why do you think that is? Because looking in the mirror, he can no longer see his reflection. Well, if he's upset, if he can't see himself, how come he gets upset? He knows he can no longer see his reflection. And that's because it is a reminder. He gets upset because it's a reminder of the monstrosity he's become, that he can no longer cast a reflection. He's become so vile in his existence, in his deadness, that he can no longer cast a reflection. When you enter into Castle Dracula, all of the mirrors have sheets over them so he doesn't have to accidentally run up on one and not see himself, but see himself. Sometimes we do that. How many sheets do you have over your mirrors in your house? How many of you are afraid of your reflection? How many of us avoid the light of the truth about ourselves hence the sunlight. How many of us are really dead and playing like we are alive, dead in our emotions, dead in our spirit, dead in our perspectives and our outlooks? We become social robots and zombies. How many of us are operating from the Dracula or the vampire effect? I'm talking about this because I see it. I see it a lot in the work that I do. It's called denial. It's called hiding behind something other than what you need to be facing. It's called hiding behind the shroud of truth. Hiding yourself away from the light of truth. Covering those mirrors so your reflection doesn't remind you of the truth of who you are and what you are and who you are not and what you are not. Yeah, the reflection, the sheets over the mirror. What happens when that vampire comes in contact with the mirror? Our behavior, when we're in denial about what we see and what we don't see, mimics his behavior. How many people have you known when you present a truth to them about themselves get upset because you place that mirror in front of them? The only difference is this particular mirror that you place in front of the living being, they can see their reflection. Whereas Dracula cannot, but he knows why. So he avoids it. How many of us avoid our reflection because the truth is too strong and unbearable? Let's look at another characteristic of the vampire. Let's put a comma right there. Emotional manipulation and control. What is that? The vampire has powerful cognitive abilities. It has enchanting powers, mostly over weak-minded individuals. It is very charming. It is charismatic. It can enter into a situation and blend in well without being detected. Let's contrast that with us. We sometimes use our trauma to extract sympathy from others. Once the motive is achieved, then begins the EMC, which is the emotional manipulation and control. Why is Dracula emotionally manipulating and controlling people? Because he's after something. And in this case, you've seen the movie or movies, he's after that woman. Because the woman reminds him of something he once had. And he has crossed oceans of time trying to recapture what he lost, which is a love. But due to his trauma, he has been thrust upon another path. And I'll get to the love part a little later. How many times have we used our trauma to manipulate a situation? Some of us don't want to be healed. We don't want to. Our trauma is a crutch and a weapon. Dracula's trauma was a crutch and a weapon. Yes, so once the motive is achieved, then begins the EMC, emotional manipulation and control. You're using your cognitive abilities based on your traumatic experience, which says you are conniving and calculating, like Dracula, like the vampire. I don't want to see myself, and I don't have to see myself. And as long as no one knows who I am or what I'm up to, I'm just as dangerous as I want to be. How many of us, or how many people do you know who operate that way? It's the vampire effect. What else do we have going on here with the vampire effect, Greg? What else do you have to tell us? Doesn't sound like you're making any sense, man. Well, let me move on. It will make sense. Surrogates. The next stop is surrogates. The vampire employs others to do its bidding when it cannot be present. For example, Rainfield. You know the Dracula's little kickabout, his little helper, Rainfield, in the movie, right? It demands loyalty while it is loyal to nothing and no one except its own lustful desires. And it will use Rainfield as its representative. Now let's contrast that. We tend to recruit others who feel like we do to co-sign our foolishness and to help carry out our fiendish plot, whatever that looks like, i.e. cliques and groups of the haves and have-nots. And when we see someone that we think would make a great addition to our little circle, we bite their ass the first chance we get as soon as the sun goes down. And we produce and or create another surrogate, someone like us, who thinks like us, who has an appetite like us, who moves like us, who won't tell me no, who will join me in creating others like me. Sometimes we do that. I've seen it. And if you haven't seen it, keep breathing. Keep watching. Keep watching. Well, Craig, what is the other part that you're talking about, the vampire effect? We often cover our faces and take on other characteristics in order to fool someone. I just have to tell you about the emotional manipulation and control. When the only fooling that's really being done is yourself. Because you are too fearful of your own reflection, you will never come face to face with the truth that you need to confront. Oh, but it's going to confront you. It's the vampire effect. So you don't realize you've been bitten, and now you are a carrier of vicarious traumatization. You are a carrier now. It's nothing short of when someone infects you with a sexually transmitted disease, or maybe you're sitting around someone who has the flu. If you hang around long enough, you become infected and affected. And then you infect and affect others. It's the vampire effect. And some of you, or us, know it. Some of us like being vampires. So we throw sheets over our mirrors as to not remind ourselves of what we've become. It's easier to hide behind a facade of religion, church, and or whatever you have, or some type of community organization. It's easy to go from relationship to relationship and hiding behind what we think is spirituality, and we talk the lingo, we spew this empty rhetoric that we call spirituality, and we think that we're on to something, while all the while you are sinking in a quagmire of your own falsehoods. It's the vampire effect. Well, damn, Craig, you always coming at people. I ain't coming at nobody. It's the vampire effect. We do it. What I'm saying here, what I'm attempting to do, is to tell those to whom it may apply to, go to your mirror, remove the sheet, and deal with that person. And if you don't cast a reflection, it's because you're too afraid of what you're going to see. And once the fear is eradicated, then you will begin to come back into visibility, your own visibility. Then you begin to heal yourself. Then you will begin to come in contact with what you've been running from. Then you will no longer have to feed off others. You will no longer be the parasite that leech, that tick, and other ungodly life forms. Well, Craig, how do we do that? What's the process? Well, in the movie, The Folklore, there is a nemesis. And the nemesis has a name, and his name was Van Helsing. Van Helsing represents the much-needed intervention that breaks the spell of the vampire off the minds and souls of its victims. Who is that? Well, let me contrast that. You know, in the movie, you had Van Helsing. In real life, we have our Van Helsings. They come in the form of psychiatrists and clinicians, social workers and psychologists, therapists and counselors, life coaches and mentors. Those are our Van Helsings. Some of us are afraid of them like Dracula was. Why? Because Dracula knew that Van Helsing knew who it was. And some of us don't want to come in contact with people who can see us. Counselor, ain't nothing wrong with me. I don't need no counselor. Psychiatrist, I ain't crazy. But you're feeding off the lies of others, but you ain't crazy. Life coach, I don't need no life coach. Social worker, man, I'm straight. I don't need none of that. We're afraid of the Van Helsings of today, like Dracula was afraid of Van Helsing in the movie. Nonfiction versus fiction. There are a lot of parallels there. Let's go on a little further. I mentioned love about 5 minutes ago. Love, which was uncharacteristic of the vampire's fiendish nature, Dracula. The vampire is capable of showing emotion and passion. Uh-oh. Craig, how can you do that when he's dead? Follow me. It reflects on an orgasmic feeling it has never forgotten, which is love, the love it once had. Yes, it's dead, and it doesn't have a heart, but it has a memory. Yes, it remembers vividly a love and lover it once held close, kissed passionately as they experienced each other's physical desires to the height of their mutual consent. The problem is it can never have it again the way it was when life was present in his body. No, he can only experience it again from a beyond the grave perspective, a dead love, a lifeless love. Meaning in order for its love interest to abide with it for eternity, she would have to die. How many of us have come in contact with people who are alive and vibrant and radiant and going about their life and trying to do something? Here you come with your vampire infected ass and you infect this person. Because in order for you to be happy, you want them to be like you. It's too much to ask to put forth an effort to rid yourself of the baggage and the weight you're carrying so you can enjoy life like the person you have an interest in. Nope, they have to be dead like you. Dead in her spirit, dead in your precepts, in your concepts, dead in understanding, dead in wisdom. Nothing exists except what you want because you're being controlled by your own trauma and you don't know it and don't want to know it because fear, the fear of your own reflection. And if you happen to get a glimpse of yourself, you will become reminded of what you are and which you are not, then you have a tantrum. Let's contrast some of what I just said. Some of us are the same way because of the effect, your desires and emotions are empty, so you simply go through the motions with yourself. mistaking what is really a need for a void to be filled for love. So you never really love in its life form. You never really feel love in its life form. What you're doing is entertaining a host of unsettled issues. These particular issues you use to pacify your trauma, like the vampire. It has to kill to pacify its trauma. And the last time I checked, love doesn't wreck life or take life. It enhances life and builds life. How many of you are sucking the life of the people who are around you? Or how many of you are allowing it to be done to you by vampires? I say it is the vampire effect, but I can also call these individuals the vampires of consciousness. How many people do you have in your circle or who you've come in contact with who is sucking the consciousness out of your ass? Okay, do you have to cuss? No. Just felt like a good word to put there. Supposed to enhance life. How many dead people do you have around you who you come in contact with? I'm sure all of you, many of you who are listening to me, have come in contact. You've come into the same area with someone and immediately you get this bad vibe. Something's off here with him, her, them. And you do your best in your most conspicuous manner to separate yourself from that bad vibe. You probably have come in contact with those who have been infected by a vampire. And I'm not meaning literally, of course, you know what I'm talking about. I mean figuratively, someone has been infected and they are carriers of someone else's trauma. And they're looking to pass it on. Some of us are so, how can I say it? We know people who meet no strangers. Just always just friendly with everybody. You walk up and shaking hands and hugging and you're talking like you've been knowing this person you just met 5 minutes ago for 5 years. Not knowing what you're coming in contact with or who you're coming in contact with. But what is good there as well? It's the vampire effect. And you don't know what's going on with you when you come in contact with that particular type of off energy. And you take that home with you or wherever you're going. And you don't know what's going on with you. You begin to act differently. You begin to feel differently. That vibrant shine that you once had is now dim. And your children don't recognize you. And you don't recognize yourself. And you're lashing out at everything and everyone for a little of nothing. You don't know what's going on. Well, I'll tell you, it's because you've been bitten. Check your back. You may find a parasite or a leech or a tick. Check your underwear. You may find a parasite, a leech, or a tick. Check your body. You may find a parasite, a leech, or a tick. Check your mouth. Inside your mouth, you may find a parasite, a leech, or a tick. Who and what have you come in contact with as you let your guard down because you're friendly? How spiritual is that? What level of consciousness are you trying to aspire to? See, another thing Dracula does in its shape-shifting manner is it can turn into a bat, which is simply a rat with wings, if you ask me. And when human blood is scarce. It will, as I've already said, feed on that rat, which is what it is. So in essence, it's feeding on its own brother, its own sister, its own people. A rat with wings feeding on rat blood. Now contrast that with the human nature. Human beings who have been infected and affected, feeding on others who look like them. Creating surrogates. Creating cookie cutters who mimic your behavior. Why does it happen? Because some of us don't pay attention to our surroundings, and we can't discern anything. Why? Because we're out of spiritual alignment. Some of us are way too involved in other people's lives. Some of us are living vicariously through social media influences, and you don't know shit. And that's because you've been blinded by things that are put in place purposely to distract you, or what you have chosen to entertain that is a contradiction to who you are and where you're going, which sets you up to be bitten by the vampire, and then you lose focus. I don't care how buff his body is, stay focused. I don't care how fat her ass is, stay focused. You better recognize. And when you start to feel off, you better not let fear set up shop anywhere in your vicinity. Take your ass to the mirror and deal with yourself. And anything else that you feel is necessary, you have to do so you can regain your composure and your humanness and not be a parasite on someone else's life and then rid yourself of the parasites that are eating off you as well. It's the vampire effect. And some of us simply don't want to take the sheets off of our mirrors because truth is offensive. Truth is offensive. And truth doesn't give a damn about how you feel. It does not. See, we can't ignore the opposite of positive without negative. Positive couldn't exist. This is the law of opposites. One needs the other for balance. You are going to need balance. You are going to have to acknowledge what's considered negative in order for you to appreciate what you call positive. If there was nothing bitter about our lives, we would never grow to appreciate what we consider sweet. You need them both. You need that mirror so you can appreciate both of yourselves, your lower self and your higher self, your human side and your divine side. You need them both. This is the principle of correspondence, governed by law, universal law. Craig, well, we sound like you're getting off. No, I'm not. I'm still talking about the vampire effect. Because as long as you stay in a relationship with who you are and where you're going, and you stay on the path of your purpose, and be careful about who you entertain for whatever reason, you won't become a victim of the vampire. And yes, you have them in your family. Those are the main ones that'll suck your ass dry. Some of them are waiting to stick their proverbial fangs in your neck. It's the vampire effect. Dracula had sheets over his mirror, over every mirror in the house. One could ask, how come he just didn't break all the mirrors and get them out of the house? He didn't want to have anything to do. He just threw a sheet over it and kept it moving. Damn that. I'll never have to acknowledge myself. Don't allow yourself to become victim to vampires. What's that? What are some vampires? Arrogance. Vampires. Conceit. Vampires. Narcissism. Ego. Pride. Foolish pride. Some pride is good to have. Vampires. A false sense of who you are. Vampire. In the church, used to call it Jezebel. And Jezebel wasn't the name of that particular spirit. It was just the spirit took on the name of his most popular victim, Jezebel. It's the vampire effect. What am I saying? What am I supposed to be trying to do with this particular message? Well, I thought I already said it. Uncover your mirrors. It doesn't matter how minute or how major your trauma is, but have you checked yourself lately for parasite ticks and leeches? When's the last time you looked? Do you know what form they're in? Have you even bothered to take a look, to evaluate the situation? I have, and I don't mind saying some people think I'm difficult. No, I'm not difficult. I'm not going to allow you to inject or interject or intervene any of your foolishness into my world. I don't need any instructions on how to be me, and I damn sure don't need any new friends. State your business. What are you here for? Because there are two types of people in the world, those who add and those who subtract. Now, you can have those who add, who bring something viable to your life, something substantial. And then you have those who will come to add sorrow, chaos, unrest, disorder, vampires. Then you have those who will subtract. They are those who will come to subtract from you your joy, your laughter, your positive outlook on things. And then you also have those who come to subtract those things of a negative nature, will subtract from you those things that are hindering your forward progress. But unfortunately, we have people who will help their hindrances and hinder their help. They will help their hindrances and hurt their help. They will help their hindrances and hurt their help. That's just Joe. He ain't no pay no attention to him. And Joe has the key to unlock the cell that has you contained in your woes, that has you basking in the waters of a negative, abysmal state of being. Vampire. But hey, let's move on. What level of consciousness? As a matter of fact, let me stop right there. I'm going to take a brief intermission. Give me about 3 minutes. And I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to come back because I'm not going to be before you long. I just wanted to get this off of my chest and into your ear. Give me 3 minutes. Get you some chips. Go to the bathroom, whatever it is you got to do, and I will see you shortly.
Winos deal with it, though, right? Winos never get afraid of nothing but running out of wine. That's the only thing that panic a wino. Wino could deal with Dracula. Right, anyway. Hey, man! Say, nigga, you with the cake. What you doing picking in them people's window? What's your name, boy? Dracula? What kind of name is that for a nigga? Where you from, fool? Transylvania. I know where it is, nigga. You ain't the smartest motherfucker in the world, you know. Even though you is the ugliest. Oh, yeah, you ugly motherfucker. Why don't you get your teeth fixed, nigga? That shit hanging all out your mouth. Why don't you go get you an orthodontist? That's a dentist, you know, huh? This is 1975, boy. Get your shit together. What's wrong with your natural? Got that dirt all on the back of your neck. You're a filthy little motherfucker, too. You got to be home before the sun come up. You ain't lying, motherfucker. See your ass in the day, you gotta get arrested. You want to suck what? Suck some black... Nigga, is you... You some kind of freak, boy? A ugly freak? You ain't sucking nothing here, Junior. Suck your ass on away from here, what you better do. Want to suck some blood, go down to the blood bank, nigga. Hope you get sick of cell.
I am back, and we will conclude very quickly the second half of the Samuel's Perspective. I hope you enjoy the great, the legendary Richard Pryor. There has never been a comic like him since his departure. We have had a lot of imitators and perpetrators, but there is only one Rich. And I play that for a reason, simply to kind of break up the monotony of what I was saying, and also show how you deal with a vampire. Here's a wino that had no idea that he was in danger, potential danger, but he didn't give a damn because he saw something that didn't look like it belonged where he was, and he addressed it. How many times have we seen something that didn't look like it should be where it is, especially in your sacred space, but you entertain it anyway? The wino entertained it all right. He addressed it and shooed it away because he knew it didn't have any place there. We are all gifted individuals. We all are unique in our own individualism. Some of us more radical than others, and that's okay. There's a time and place for that. It's a time and place for everything. I often, well, not as much as I used to. Once upon a time, when I was a minister in the Christian church, the nickname I had is Everlast Ministry, because every time I get a chance to speak, you know what Everlast is, the boxing gloves, I was throwing blows, but I was telling the truth. I was speaking the truth. I wasn't throwing off on nobody. I was simply bringing responsibility and accountability to the table, and so-called grown folks couldn't handle it because I wasn't stroking their emotions. I'm not here to pacify you. That's not my purpose. And we're already too pacified as it is. We don't want anybody to tell us anything that makes us uncomfortable, especially when it comes to having to snatch that sheet off of your mirror. The Dramatics had a song back in 1973 called Who's Fooling Who? You ain't fooling me. You're fooling you. And that's what it pretty much boils down to. So, is the man who's looking in the mirror and seeing his reflection, is he seeing the reflection of a boy? Or is he looking in the mirror and seeing the reflection of a man? Is the man looking in the mirror and seeing the reflection of a boy, or is the boy looking in the mirror and seeing the reflection of a man? Which way is that going for you? Is the woman looking in the mirror and seeing the reflection of a girl, or is the girl looking in the looking in the mirror and seeing the reflection of a woman? Which way is that going for you? And if you're looking in the mirror and seeing the reflection of a boy or a girl, then it seems like you might have some invisible work to do, some inside work. Now, that's not saying erase what you once were. You came from boyhood and being a little girl. You do want to stay in contact with him or her, but not to the point where the boy and girl begins to make decisions for the adult from an emotional place. And if so, then it's irrational. And for that reason, you'll cover up your sheet. You'll cover up your mirrors too. I know what I'm talking about. I've been doing this a long time. I didn't just start talking like this. I just didn't start analyzing people. I just didn't start doing, I'm not doing a clinical tiptoeing, walking through the recesses of your mind. Well, I am, but not really. I'm simply presenting to you another perspective, another avenue of thought, something else to consider. I've never told anyone to abandon what they believe. Your personal convictions are your personal convictions. All I'm saying is, have you considered this? Have you considered this? Will it hurt you to exercise some consideration for yourself? We are growing, right? You are growing, right? Then why would you want to stunt your growth for refusing to do something that could be essential to your growth and maturation? Address the mirror. And don't be afraid to start picking the ticks and the leeches and parasites off your body. Also, don't be afraid to address the one who put them there. And then check yourself as well about people you entertain. What are your associations looking like? What kind of conversations are you having? What are you allowing yourself to hear? What are you allowing yourself to see? Do you not know that what you feed the most becomes the most dominant? If you're feeding your human side the most, that becomes the most dominant. If you're feeding your divine side the most, that becomes the most dominant. What are you feeding the most? Or do you have a balanced attack in feeding yourself what you need from both a divine perspective and a human perspective? We talk about balance, but are critically imbalanced mentally and emotionally, which affects us physically, which also affects us in our relationships. This is political, economic, and social evils. It is a cultural evil. It is genocide that's being perpetrated upon us because, as we are accomplices in the process and our own demise. And then we look to point the finger at something that you can't even prove. When the culprit who's masquerading as the victim is in the mirror. Oh, yeah, sometimes We don't want to hear it. I'm not ashamed to say, once upon a time when I was coming through my points of purification, if I can say it that way now, when I was coming through, I had to swallow horse pills, figuratively. But because I wanted to grow and learn about myself, and I wanted to mature and become the man that I am today, and the man that I'm still becoming, I had to swallow those pills. And there was no accusatory finger point. There was no justifying why I'm still doing this, that, or the other. No. You want to grow? You want to stop some things right now? You want to start the process so you can make progress? Swallow the pill. Yeah, it's not going to go down very well. It's not going to taste very well either. But once it starts to take effect, you will be glad you swallowed it. Take the sheets off of your mirror. Purge your circle if that is necessary. Because there are vampires of consciousness who are simply laying in wait for an opportunity to latch on to you to begin to suck out the very thing that gives you life, whatever that is for you. Some people don't need it. They just don't want you to have it. So they'll contrive a plan, concoct a plan to get next to you or someone that you know. And as soon as the sun goes down, they'll crawl out of their creepy existence, out of their coffins. Some of them living home with their mamas in the basement. Out of their coffins. Some of them coming out the club at 3 in the morning and looking for somebody to bite. Out of their coffins. Some of them are broke and they're looking to do anything they can to get a few dollars out of you. Out of their coffins. And while the sun is down and you are unaware, you are prey. You better hope when the sun comes up that you still recognize yourself. And if you have people who depend on you, who trust you, who look to you to make decisions, you better be aware. You have a business that you need to run. You have employees who depend. You better be aware. You have a family, a husband, a wife, children, grandchildren, a girlfriend, whatever it is, a dog that you love. You better be aware. Because there are vampires of consciousness waiting to inflict upon you the vampire effect, which in turn will cause you to fear your own reflection. And the longer you avoid your reflection, the longer you stay in a parasitic state, the longer you will begin to feed off of others, the longer you will begin to operate in an undead modus operandi. Oh, sometimes they call me Dr. Samuels, and other times, most of the time, they call me Brother Craig. But I'm just a brother here in Flint, Michigan, with poison ass water, trying to convey a message that's not very popular to people who don't seem to get it. And it is a tedious, arduous task. But I'm up for the challenge. Are you? Are you? As I said, I'm not going to stay before you long. I think I have said everything that I wanted to say. There are a few things more that I could, but I'm going to save it because I see something that will be very good for another broadcast. And I might just invite some of the brothers and sisters who are on the platform of EAR to discuss it so we can have a verbal orgy and take the clothes off of some things so we can see what it really looks like in its true essence. It's still up in the air. I'm undecided. But it'll be good if we do. I'm gonna give that some more thought. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate you tuning in and hearing what I had to say this evening. I appreciate those of you who appreciate what I have to say. And I only hope I said something that at least causes you to think. It's not about making you believe my position. I'm not here to do that. I don't have the power to do that. I do have the power to plant a seed, though. It is imperative that we glean from each other. It is imperative that we eradicate this personality bias. I only listen to such and such because it's such and such. Now, mind you, I'm too grown to give a damn. I wake up thinking grown man thoughts and doing grown man things. I have no time to entertain things that are less than adulthood. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm so grown that I can't have fun. I love to have fun, but my point is this. If we don't stop now with some of the things that we're doing and calling it righteous and don't even recognize it, the ticks, the parasites, and the leeches will remain, and you will remain one as well. You don't have to listen to me. Just pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention to what's going on more than what's happening in your world, in the circumference of your understanding. Because the circumference of your understanding is only so big. And that's not an insult, and it's not a put down. That's a fact. And it applies to me too. That's why I open myself up to certain other aspects of learning as it pertains to who I am and what is necessary in my growth process. And especially when it comes time for me to share information, I have to be thorough. And I can have nothing interfering with my atmosphere, and that includes my thought process. It applies to you too. It applies to you too. I am going to leave you now. And as always, I'll end with a quote. It's a Shakespearean quote, and all of you know it. But if you hear it, I mean hear it, then it'll take on a whole new meaning for you. And you will no longer have to worry about hiding from your reflection. The sheets will be on the bed instead of over the mirrors. And this is the quote. To thine own self, be true. Good night.